Okay. Welcome, everybody. Thanks for joining. My name is Alessio Soldano. I work at Red Hat. I'm responsible for the web services and REST layer of the JBoss application platform. And as part of that, I basically contribute to Apache CXF and other Apache projects, because currently the web service implementation of JBoss is basically a wrapper around the Apache CXF project. And I've been basically involved in web services since a lot of time, even before joining Red Hat. And it is when I was working at my former company that people started from time to time asking me, okay, how do we test this web service? Is there an easy way for a non-developer guy to invoke a web service to use it to verify the data that are in the system? Perhaps because the web services is exposing data on the database or things like that. And so I started thinking about the idea of how to make it simple to invoke web services in a generic way. Anyway, so today we will go through a discussion around how to invoke a web service endpoint and how to make that in a general way that allows building a web application for doing the web service invocation. So let's say we want to invoke a web service in Java. What we do is that we start with the WSDL contract for the endpoint, which basically means fetching the WSDL file. And with that file, we can of course use the standard JaxWS tools. Given we are using Java, we use JaxWS. And the JSR 224 basically says that implementers need to provide tools for generating the Java stubs starting from the WSDL contract and the opposite. So in this case, I'm using WS Consume, which is the JBoss implementation of JaxWS tools, which in turn is a wraparound CXF. As you can see, it uses CXF. And we generate the classes that are basically to be used in your application to do the web service invocation. With those classes, you can of course move to your IDE and you build up your client application. All the code that I'm showing is available on GitHub. In this case here, this is the client that we were seeing before. And it's a simple JaxWS client, which uses the generated service and does the invocation like this. And the project just has that test class, and it is a Maven project, and as you can see, I used the JBoss dependencies here, and there's a plugin here, because perhaps you want to automate the generation of the clients a bit, so that you do not have to run the WS Consume tool every time, but you have it invoked automatically during the Maven build. Okay, are we satisfied by this solution, which of course is quite old, it's years that it is around? Not really satisfied, basically because the code that we generate is bound, of course, to the code that we write is bound to the classes that we have generated. So if the endpoint changes a bit, we need to regenerate the project, and we might have compile problems and things like that. And generally speaking, this is not the solution for quick testing of endpoints. At this time, so I can introduce the JBoss Wise project, which is basically a pure community project. It's not productized in any Red Hat offering at the moment. JBoss Wise,
Yes, I need to.
Okay. Gemboss-wise is basically a library
for.
Let's try again.
Probably.
Can you hear me? Okay. It's basically a library for simplifying web service invocation. And given it is built on top of the JAX-WS tools, it basically internally relies on the JAX-WS tooling of Apache CXF. And the goal of the project is to eventually lower the technical entry, the technical knowledge entry level to web service invocation. So allows non-developers to easily invoke web service endpoints. And before reaching that point, of course, we try to provide a simple way for browsing the contract model and a way to create invocation with very few lines of code. So we started with this API, in which you see that basically you create a client, which is created using a builder, and the builder has options which are basically the same that you have in the JAX-WS tools. So you can tell it to keep the sources, to use, to force JAX-WS to level and things like that, to be verbose or not, and minor things like that. And once you get a client, you can invoke a method. A method being basically the operation in the contract. And to properly address a specific operation, of course, you need to specify the service, the port, and the actual operation, which you can see are basically these guys here. So, of course, those who are used to read the WSDL contract might say, okay, well, this is straightforward. But people usually do not take a WS file and say, okay, this operation comes from there, the binding is there, the port is there, and so on. And once you have the method, you basically need to provide object instances of your parameters in there. And call invoke to obtain the result. And prepare order in this case is the name of the parameters. I will get back on the actual parameters later. You can of course also browse the model because before you've seen that we have directly fetched a specific methods. But we might not know in advance which method we want. So we could go through all the services, the endpoints that are within the service, and methods within the endpoints, and so on. OK, what about parameters? The problems with parameters is that, of course, you could have any type of parameters, and they could even be complex types. Described in schemas that could be embedded in the WSDL contract or external schemas. And of course, with a model like this, we need to have a generic way of describing the parameters that we could have. And we need to, as a user, we need to actually provide instances of those classes in the map that is passed to the method. So, the first solution that we came up with was basically the most obvious one, that is in the web parameter object here we have the actual class type of the parameter, which is the class that has been generated by the tool internally, and we can use reflection on that class to figure out how to populate an object that is an instance of that class, and of course prepare the object like that. Of course, we can do better because this is an ugly solution. It's not performant. It's cumbersome, and so on.
So the next solution was to have mappers.
So basically, you could perhaps have your own object model. So let's say, given you have your application that needs to invoke another service, and the service is exposed as a web service, you will eventually have to convert your own data model into the parameters for the endpoint that you are invoking. So instead of doing the actual conversion, you could define a mapping file, which could be whatever, let's say an XML describing the mapping, but it could be actually anything else, and perhaps feed this into Wise. So there is basically an interface, which is called Mapper, that allows you to do the conversion, and which kind of move the problem from it turns the problem into defining the proper transformation of data. And I say that the mapping could be whatever, because of course there are tools like Smooks, which allows basically transforming any format of data into a different format. And in Wise, we support Smooks. So basically, you can define a transformation for feeding the web service invocation with data coming from an XML or a CSV file or another Java model. And for instance, in the other demo project that I have here, is it this? Let me check. No, this one is the one with the reflection, and the other one is here. To make it clear, the classes whose name is in Italian, like ordine, cliente, elemento, ordine, and such, are basically the application model, while those in English are the parameters for the web service invocation. And in this case, Smooks mapper has been defined, and I will show you the contents. And instead of creating the parameters of the web service invocation, we are passing in our own object from our own model and doing the invocation with it. And in this case, we are defining the transformation with a Smooks response XML file, which, well, in this case, it is quite straightforward. It maps the properties of my being into the corresponding properties of the other being of the invocation, the web service invocation. But of course, the transformation could be more complex. And the invocation is done as shown here. This is quite a more generic approach. And we figured out that we basically end up reasoning in terms of a request and a response model more than in terms of a web service contract. So once we have the set of our allowed and possible requests, we know how to do the invocation. And so we started asking ourselves if there was an easier way to describe the model. Perhaps instead of having types, so the types of the generated classes for the invocation, we could have simple strings defining everything, so that the invocation could be performed with less requirements on the client. So we came up with a tree model. In a tree model in which we have a single class, which is called interface, which is called element. And, well, the API, of course, we have only the element, but of course we have implementation of that. And the element can basically be any simple or complex object that you could have in your request. So it might or might not have children. children. It might be a group or not, if it is a collection or not. And it's basically the same as you have, as you do with DOM. So you have the node, and the node can be an element or a simple node, and they can have children or not, and so on. And once you have this tree model, you can convert the parameter types, which are usually basically a class that has anything that has a lot of other classes referenced because of complex types and so on. And you can convert that model into a tree model, which is basically filled in like this. This might seem a bit still a little bit verbose, of course, but the fact is that it is only invocation of methods with string parameters, which is good for where we are going with this discussion. And once you create all the elements and you define the tree of your invocation, you convert the tree back into a single object instance of the proper classes by doing the invocation here, build request, and so on. Here, you call two objects on the order, which is the parent of the tree, the root node of the tree. You call two objects, and that builds up the parameter, the invocation parameter. And of course, you can do the opposite with the response. You can convert the resulting object into a tree. This is nice, after all this introduction, because once you have a model which is only described by string things, you can basically expose it easily as a web application. Because you only need a way to let the user fill in the data into the tree, and the data coming from the browser could be simple strings. And once you have the tree properly populated, the tool that we have seen will convert the tree into the parameters and perform the actual invocation. So I can show you one of the application that have been created. I'm starting a Wildfly instance, which is the community version of JBoss Enterprise application platform. And in this application, I've deployed the web application, which is the guy here, Wise GUI, and three test endpoints. Of course, I could test against any endpoints that are available everywhere. But given I've been doing this presentation in the past, and of course the days of the presentation, the endpoints were down or the connection was not available, I decided to use local endpoints to do the invocation. And then you go to the endpoint, to the application address, and this is one of the deployed endpoints contract. So I take the WSDL URL here, fill it in the application. What it does, it internally parses the contract and use JaxWS tools to generate the client classes, and still on the server side, of course. And show me the available endpoints and the available service and operations. In this case, there is only one operation. You can see here it's a very simple endpoint. But of course, you could have many, which have been shown here below. So you select the one you want, and you're presented with a tree of the possible, of the allowed invocation parameters for the endpoint. And of course, you can fill in data here.
There are
selectors like this for enumeration types. Of course, you can do a lot of fancy things like automatically enabling
when you focus out of the input box here,
because these checkbox here are for nilability of the arguments. So given in the XSD and WSDL, you could have that a parameter could be nilable. So an empty value is different from a nil value. As you need a checkbox to say, okay, I actually want to provide data. Let's say here I want an empty string, and here instead I want a nil value. And of course, order item here, there was a collection. So we can add elements into the collection. We can add many elements. We can even remove them. Fill in data here. And here we have options for actually invoking this web service against a different target endpoint address. So perhaps let's imagine a scenario in which you have the same endpoint which is exposed on different different addresses, and or perhaps you consume the WSDL from a local resource and then eventually do the invocation on a remote location. So you can provide a different address here, and username and password, of course, if the endpoint is protected. And you can get a preview of the SOAP, of the SOAP message that will be created and sent, and you can eventually do the invocation. So the tool internally performs the invocation and returns you, again, a tree view of the response. And here again, you can check the response message, the SOAP response message that was actually received.
And that's a simple version of the tool. Let me get back to the presentation. It was here.
So how the application is actually organized? Well, in this case, it is running in Wildfly JBoss EAP, Enterprise Application Platform, and it is composed of a core part, which is the Apache CXF kernel, which is wrapped by the JBoss WS layer, which in turn is wrapped by the WISE code that provides the tree model and that things that we just covered. And then, of course, there's a client part, which is the graphic user interface, WISE GUI, which can be implemented in different ways. I will get back on this later. But of course, you could also fetch all the dependencies that you need, put them in a big WAR instead of relying on the libraries that are already available in Wildfly, and deploy a fat WAR on any Java E container. Actually, let me say on any servlet container, because there's just a minor things that won't work on Tomcat. There's a scheduled bin which used EJBs, but that could be simply replaced with something else. And it is used only to clean up classes of stuff that is not used anymore. So basically, any servlet container would run the fat WAR with all the dependencies in it. The graphic user interface, as I said, is required to populate the tree model that is maintained on server side and which is eventually converted into the parameters for the invocation. From a technology point of view, it can be implemented in many different ways. When we initially started with this GUI thing,
we used JSF with rich faces and obtained the application that I've shown you, which works decently, but of course it's not the state of the art of client solutions. And we actually created also a GWT-based implementation, which is also available on GitHub. And currently, somebody is thinking about an AngularJS 2-based solution. It's not that a fancy thing to create the client. It's a matter of having time and contributing, because, of course, as I said, this is not something at the moment productized directly by Red Hat. It's just a community project. Once we obtained the web application, we started thinking about the benefits of this application. And of course, the most straightforward thing is that you do not need an IDE, let's say Eclipse, to do the invocation. There are tools around for doing web service invocation. Let me mention SOAP UI, for instance. And as far as I know, SOAP UI basically allows, gives you a preview of the XML that is going to be sent to the endpoint. And in some cases, well, it didn't in the initial version, but after just a bit of time, it did that. It places question marks instead of the actual arguments for the invocation, so that you go and replace the question marks with the actual parameters and eventually do the invocation. The problem with a solution like this are, first of all, that you need to be able to read and modify XML, which of course is a piece of case for any developer, but might not be the case for business analysts or people that usually do not develop anything. And of course, replacing question marks and placeholders is not that a quick solution. You might eventually forget things, or you might have optional elements that are not required, so you need to remove them before being able to do the invocation and things like that. And of course, you need to run the SOAP UI application or any equivalent application which might run within an IDE or be a standalone application. In this case, it runs in any browser, so you could use it everywhere on mobile, and you could deploy this application on the cloud. I think a couple of years ago I tried it on OpenShift, the free version, and it worked, so it's quite easy. Once you have an application like this available, you can really think about the data instead of the technology. So if you want to test a web service, not because it is a web service, but because it is a way to expose data in a system, you can do that easily. You can have your quality assurance team that wants to check the data that are put together by querying two different databases and doing some transformation on top of the data, and eventually want to know the result, because that is the result of, let's say, phase one of a big process that builds your final product. And you want to test just like that with some specific input. Okay, you expose that part of the system as a web service, and you use a tool like this to let the quality guys test it with any specific and strange data combinations. And I'm saying this because before joining Red Hat, I really see scenarios in which people actually needed these kind of things. And it is fast, it is an agile way of testing web services. And as I said, allows for non-developers guys to do the invocation. Let's also think about one thing. Wise is built on top of a JAX-WS compliant implementation, which is Apache CXF, and hence we have correctness
and interoperability granted for sure, because of the certification requirements of JAX-WS. Basically, JAX-WS is part of Java E, which has TCK requirements. So you can say, okay, I am compliant only if you pass a given set of tests. And that is meant for being sure that if you are compliant, you will be able to run on any type of wizard contract. And at the same time, given we are talking about web services, SOAP web services, we know that everything is basically described in the contract, in the WSDL and the XSDs that are referenced by the main WSDL. So we are granted compliance with the contract. But we have a tool like this, we do not need to write the SOAP messages. So we get the benefits of invoking a web service, but we do not have the pain of doing the actual web service invocation because we just fill in data in a graphic user interface that takes strings and perhaps even does checks on the types, so you do not type, let's say, letters when a number is required and so on. To me, this makes invoking web services easy.
Okay, that's all. I have a lot of time for questions. Well, the project, the wisejboss.org, is available at wisejboss.org page. It is here. The description is not that up to date, unfortunately, because as I said, it's a community project and nobody is really full time involved in it. And the demo repository on my space on GitHub is there. There are three different ways of creating a project for invoking the web services. The first one is with plain JAX-WS tool. The second one is the one with Reflection. And there's the one with the mappers, Smooks mappers. And the web application is available on GitHub, and the references to the repositories are available on the WISE webpage. If you have a question, I'm here.
Somebody have any questions? Come on, guys. Okay.
Are you aware of the Swagger UI?
Also?
Because the Swagger UI, the JavaScript application to test REST APIs based on JSON?
Not really.
Okay, so maybe it would make sense to take a look at it because you have all the model exploration already implemented there for a JSON contract.
Yeah. Generally speaking, I think that once you have a general way of describing the invocation, you could use many different ways, many different. You can create many clients to that, and eventually do the invocation. I've been in contact with a guy or that wanted to use the tree model to do the invocation using a script. So he was basically creating a simple script that put the data into a text file, and that was converted into the invocation. So I don't know if this makes sense, but I think that, as you say, JSON would be also an option.
I know in XML, it's in a schema, it's much more complex to do that. But with the Swagger UI, you have already the exploration of minimum and maximum restrictions and if a field is required or not, and so on and so on. Yeah, so maybe it would make sense to port this to a JavaScript application to make it more lightweight.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yep.
Another question, please.
Yeah, let me add just one thing. It's just a bit more than a prototype at the moment. it would probably need many new features. Some of them, I have already ideas, but the fact is that it needs someone to be involved, to contribute. So if you have any idea and you are willing to implement, just write me and be welcome to contribute. That's all.
So, say goodbye to this speaker, and yes, we left this talk, so.
Thank you.